healing is ours as we stand on the rock. We stand on the Word of God. Understand that. As we stand on the Word, we get off the rock, we're in sinking sand again, okay? As you stand on the, how do you stand on the rock? By obeying the Word of God. Very simple, by obeying the Word of God. We step all out of the Word of God, we'll open prayer for the enemy. Now, we have a prayer list that we have every week that we take home to pray for. How many people pray over that list? Okay. Someone tell me how you pray. Give me a scripture that you pray. When I say healing, and healing is ours, that's in the Word of God. What scripture do you have that comes back? What scripture do you pray, Vic?
By His stripes.
By His stripes I am healed. Okay, ready to get. Who else? Who else has a scripture that you say that you, when you're praying for healing? Yes, Marianne.
Give them faith.
Okay, increase their faith. Very good. Jesus prayed for Peter. Yes, he didn't pray that Peter get out of that situation. Give him faith to endure the temptation. Okay, anybody else?
Well, Pastor, when I pray, I ask the Lord to pray for the healing and for whatever their needs may be.
Okay.
Financial,
okay.
Spiritual.
Okay. Okay.
I pray for all of that.
Right. So you say, Lord, what?
Stand on the Word.
Okay. To stand on the Word, you got to know the Word. I'm glad you said that, okay? When we ask God, well, God, just heal them today, He already healed every one of us. Now, hear what God says. This is so important for this church in this day, is that He's already healed them. So when you say, God, just heal them today, saying, Kenny, I've already healed them. Okay, they have to receive that healing. Thank you very much for saying that, because that's the catch we have right now. When I ask right now, what scriptures do you stand on when you pray for people? I got one, by His stripes, that's all. We don't know the Word of God when it comes to healing, okay? He sent His what? His Word to heal them. So what do we need in our life? We need the Word of God. We need that Word of God. And folks, He sent His Word to heal us. And as we hear that Word, and we'll look at that today, we need to know that Word. We need to know that Word. You know, many times we spend a long time looking at prescriptions on all of the side effects. And that's wise to do that. But spend as much time looking at the Word of God. And what it says, that's your decoration. His decoration to you. Okay? Write a list if you have to. You need to know if you're praying. And if when you... when you say, hey, I'm praying for you. How are you praying for me? Okay? God wants you to learn this. He wants you to get this into your spirit, okay? When you say, I'm praying for you, brother. Okay, are you praying the Word of God? Or are we saying, well, God, you know, Starkey's a really nice guy, and he's really been he's done all this all his life, and he deserves this, he deserves that. That's not praying. That's not praying the Word of God, okay? God already knows all that. He knows I'm a nice guy. No. Okay? We need to take His Word and speak it out. When He says that the Word is our sword, we have to speak out the Word of God. Okay? You hear me on that, church? I won't lose anybody here. We have to know His Word and speak it out. His Word is like a two-edged sword. But we have to know that Word to speak it out. So that comes back to you and me and our obligation to study that Word, to be in that Word day and night, to hear that Word. That is how important this is. He promises everything. But we have to do our part. And that is to know His Word, to study that Word, and to speak that Word out. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
It's no different than giving a weapon. And you leave the weapon laying in your house. You walk outside and say, Mr. Groundhog, Starkey gave me a weapon. He's going to look at you, okay. Ain't going to do no good. But when you grab that weapon, like it's designed to do, and you use it, that groundhog, you've got to worry about something. Amen? Same way with the Word of God. It's given to us, but it's up to us to grab that Word, have faith in it, and speak that Word out. Amen?
Amen.
Time and time again, you know, on these, I would imagine if I asked someone to name everyone that's on our cancer list that you've been praying for the last year, I don't know if anybody could or not. Some of them say, oh man, I forgot last week. Man, I was going to pray this week. I forgot all about that. And we get busy, do we not?
Yeah.
Well, you got to change your habit. Whatever gets you so busy that we can't take time to pray, we have to change things, guys. Amen? We have to, every one of us do. I mean, our refrigerator door, I spend most of my time in the refrigerator, I guess, but mine's only a refrigerator door. It might be by my bedpost. Or it could be in my car, whatever it is. But we have to change our way of thinking, the way we've been doing things here lately. The church itself, we have to get back to the pure Word of God. That Word of God is our weapon. Okay, that's what our strength is coming from, is the Word of God. And we have to get our part, ourselves so fine-tuned that we know that when we hear something, man, a scripture comes back. How do I find these? There's many ways of finding the healing scriptures. I mean, we have these things here. I get by every phone I got. Right, healing scriptures. Tell me right here in Psalm 107:20. God sent His word and healed me. He delivered me from my own destruction. So that's how would I pray that out? Well, God, You sent Your word. Jesus Christ, You came. You came, You sent Your word. And Your word is anointed. I believe in that word. And because of that, I overcome my sickness and disease because I stand on the Word. Not just because I'm saying, repeating that Psalms. Because I'm doing what God says to do. Amen? And I'm not doing what He says not to do. Because sickness and disease comes from what? From sin. Yes, it does. It does. It comes from sin. Satan brought that into the world when man fell. God gave us a warning. He told Adam and Eve, you know, if I can put it this way, man, don't disobey me. Because when you disobey me, sickness and disease will come upon you, and death will. And He hasn't changed any. We disobey God, we'll open our doors up for sickness and disease to come into our life. Now, if you're sick, it doesn't mean that it's your sin that caused that. Amen? Don't sit there thinking, well, man, Sarky's coughing, he's got sin in his life. No, this world is so deteriorated now. It's hard to stay away from that stuff, but it's possible through the Word of God to stay strong, continue on doing what He's called us to do until He called us home. Amen? Amen. You know, our dear sister Dolores, what a sweet blessing she was. I tell you what, Daryl, I would go to the care center and I would sit there and I would read scripture. I'd read every healing scripture I had in Dolores and I would put her name in. By the stripes on the back of Jesus Christ, He brought you healing. He sent His word to heal you. Went, oh, no, I just read that to her, encourage her. Listen, that's what the Word of God says. He's sitting there encouraging her, and whether she's awake or not, speaking that over, I want her to hear that. Because I don't want somebody going in and speaking death over her. Listen to me, church. Whenever the Master decides to take you home, go. Amen? Listen to me. Go. I'm telling you what. You see Jesus' face. Oh! You know, I'm watching for Him right now. But until that day comes, I will speak the Word of God over you. I will pray the Word of God that you will recover and raise up again to do what God's called you to do. He'll decide that. I know there's too many times we'll take the doctor's report. How starkly the doctor said this. Okay, but I know what Dr. Jesus said. And I've seen miracle after miracle take place, and I know the Word of God. I see it in the Bible time and time again, that God intervenes. So I'm not going to give up. I don't care how bad it is, what it looks like in our eyes. Faith has nothing to do with seeing, does it? Faith is knowing the Word of God. And so when we go in and see one another, Daryl, even if you tell me, well, Starkey, I'm ready to go, brother. Amen. Always be ready. But you ain't going to go until the Master says. I ain't going to give up on you yet. You understand that? You ain't going to leave me by myself yet until the Master says, come home for your rest. So I'm going to intervene for you. You ever get depressed? Woo, you just want to give up sometimes? Hey, been there. Okay. Well, if I come along, so I don't blame you, brother. I give up too. Life sucks and I'm telling you what, it ain't going to get no better. Is that what the Word of God says? No. I better be speaking the Word of God into your ears to bring you encouragement, because His Word won't come back void to raise you back out of that pit. Amen?
Amen.
But we need it to one another. We have to do that. We want to do as born-again Christians. That Word is a sword that we have to fight against the evil one. Right. The Master decides when it's time for us to go home. He says, hey, come home to your reward. Now, when is that going to be? I'm not God. Amen. I'm not. We look throughout some of the great saints we talk about at times. Some went home to be with the Lord when they were 30 years old. Others, 967, wasn't the Carol close to what? No, not you. Okay. But he decides that. And we have to have that in our spirit that, man, that is the what we're going to do. We don't surrender. Oh, we can't write people off. Now, we look at people and say, oh, I don't know. But I know what the Word of God says. And we need to speak that out. I know you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, well, Pastor, I know the Word of God, but I know. Well, I know Uncle so-and-so or Aunt so-and-so. And boy, they were men of God. And they died from this terrible disease. Anybody thinking that right now? No? Normally we think that. Right now, I'm going to go back 1 second. 5 minutes ago, I asked you, what scriptures are you reading about healing? And I got one. So, there's a lot of lack of knowledge in here, right? So, my God says, my people, they perish because of lack of what?
Knowledge.
Lack of knowledge.
Knowledge.
Let my people perish. I'm going to pick on Fred. Come here, Fred. I don't care how far back you sit, buddy. Not far enough. You stay home and I'll Skype you in here. I'll put you right up on the big screen. Well, Fred bought a house. In fact, what he did, he had a house designed and built by a contractor. Beautiful house. It's an awesome house. When he got it built, they told him $100 a month is all the utilities will cost. That's your heat, air conditioning, that's your water. $100 a month for this beautiful house. Man, he built this house, he fell in love with it, and he started telling Starkey, hey, Starkey, you need this house. This is awesome. Well, Fred, tell me about it. He said, oh, man, it's got all these nice rooms, it's got carpet, it's got air conditioning, it has everything. Oh, lights, oh, man. And for $100 a month, wow, utilities. Man, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Who wants that house? I do. So by talking with Fred, I buy a spot right beside him. I hire the same contractor that built his house. Woo! And he built it. Oh, beautiful. In fact, you can't tell the difference in a house. So Fred's is purple and mine's blue, okay? Everything's going along great. We're having barbecue, having a great time. Winter comes, spring comes. I get kind of upset. I said, Fred, I said, this carpenter that you had build your house, he told me all this stuff that it would do for me. It ain't working. I mean, my utility bill's $400 a month. And he told me $100 a month. But I tell you what, I don't know who that contractor is, who that carpenter you use, but I'm going to tell you, Darryl, don't use the same one. Jack, stay away from him. I'm telling you what, they're a bunch of liars. Bunch of liars. So Fred goes, well, Starkey, I don't understand. On the outside, it looks the same. Same door, but a little different color, but it looks the same. Man, come on, let me come over to your house. I invite Fred in. He walks in. So he walks in the door. He goes, whoa, my land. What, Fred? Where's your windows at? Well, I don't want windows in my house. I took them out. You took your windows out, Fred said? Yeah, I took them out. So he goes back around toward the back door. Where's your weather stripping at? Well, I just took it out. I don't think I needed that on my house. He goes upstairs, my attic. I got my attic window out. He says, Storky, the reason your utility is so high, you're not doing by the design of the carpenter. Did you not read the owner's manual that you got? Who reads owner manual? I never read one until something breaks down. If I would have read the owner's manual, it would have said that these are triple pane windows designed to keep out the Arctic air. It would have told me all how awesome weather stripping is. No, I just want what Fred had. I got it, what he had. Same person, built mine. But then I didn't read the owner's manual and it's deteriorating. And all this time, I've been out mouthing off about Fred and his carpenter, blaming them when it's my fault. They hear an amen on that.
Amen. Amen.
Our lives can be the same way at times. From the outside, you look at my house and, wow, Sorry, King Fred's got something going on there, man. But you hear me talk and you hear Fred talk. Well, there's two different stories going on here. Because he was on the inside to know the difference. Thanks, Fred. I'll probably call it again in a second. So we go back to our aunt or uncle, our friends, our brothers and sisters before us. And then ahead of time we think, okay, they Christians, they went to church, and they died. Word of God ain't true. It's all hogwash, all healing, I don't believe in it. Could we look at someone that we know who passed on, and so we blame God's word? But I ask you, the one that you comes to mind, did they have the windows open in the house? Did they not know to close the windows? Maybe no fault of their own. They didn't have great faith to overcome the obstacles of life. Because they just didn't know. Doesn't mean they died and went to hell. Listen, church. It just means that they might have passed on a lot sooner than what God wanted them to. Amen. Because of not hearing that faith. So we have to get in our mind that this word is for each one of us. For you. And don't think about what happened to this person or that person. You don't know what was going on. You don't know how much of the Word of God that they had. Or did they know to speak it out? Maybe they were born again late in life and they didn't absorb the Word yet. Give God the glory that they're in heaven again. Well, they're in heaven. But we have to have this Word. You got to know that Word. You got to study that Word. You'll be able to speak out that word. This word is what's going to help us survive in these times before the Master comes. Right. Amen, guys. This is it. Now, I know, I got so many notes here today. I'll be here tomorrow of it. Right. I want to share this. A lot of times we have in the church, we'll say this word, I can't. I can't do this, I can't do that. Understand, it's faith that pleases God. And we need to remember this book we hold here, which is the Bible. It's not a suggestion book. It's a book of what we do and what we don't do. Amen? It's not, please don't pick and choose. If it says do it, please do it. If it says don't do it, don't do it. And we are not following His Word. We can't complain about Him. If we're not doing what the Word of God says, how can we complain? We'd be like me complaining about Fred's carpenter. I tell you what, built my house, it's no good. Okay, well, I didn't do anything I was supposed to maintain it. And we're born again. But we have an obligation to the Master to maintain His temple. And to continue to share the Word of God until He comes to get us. Amen?
Amen.
In Hebrews 11, verse 16... As you turn, I'll read it to you, and I'll be referring back to it. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. But he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So do you want to please God? If you do, it's impossible to do it without faith. But the good news, you say, well, I just don't have much faith. Well, number one, if you tell me you believe there's a God... In Jesus, there's faith already. Amen. You got that faith to start. All you got to do is water it now. Praise God that, you know, that is faith to know that, because you can't see God. It takes faith to believe in Him. Now, Matthew 19:26, and we'll be jumping around all over today, so you can take notes, you can follow me in the Bible, or whatever you want to do. The Master, Jesus was saying, and looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. That last part again, he was talking about several different things, but the main purpose he's saying, but with God, he said, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
With God. Amen. So when we say we can't, then we get kind of weak in our faith, because either we don't know the Scriptures, or we're calling God a liar when we say, I can't do that. Okay? Now, I know a lot of people who smoke or who used to smoke. And I'm there among you. I've smoked for 30 years. And we hear this a lot. Oh, I want to quit, but I just can't quit. I just can't quit. Seriously? I smoked 30 years. I quit just like that. And you tell me you can't quit. Quitting is so easy. In fact, it's so easy, I quit 27 times when I was smoking. It wasn't a quitting that was hard. It's not starting again, the hard part of it, okay? Amen? And so in our life, when we look at ourselves and say, I just can't quit doing this, you can quit right now. If you have a sin in your life, you can quit that right now. If it's drugs or alcohol, if it's pornography, if it whatever it might be, you can quit right now. But the hard part is not starting up again. And how do you not start up again? What gives you the strength is through fellowship, coming together as a born-again Christian, coming together, reading the Word, studying that Word, and allow that Word to deliver you from falling back into the temptation of sin. And someone said it earlier, I think you said it earlier, you pray for faith.
Yeah.
So it goes back to like we talked about last week. When you know the stumbling blocks of some of us here, you lift that stumbling block up, and you fast and you pray and you speak against that. That in the name of Jesus Christ, I just cast down this demon of alcoholism against my brother and my sister. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. I place that precious blood of Christ over them today that they shall be delivered. I pray today for their faith to be strengthened. As the temptation comes, may the word of God return to them and may they be delivered from it. Okay, God, I'll do that. Hello, Fred. Hey, this is Starkey. I just want to pray with you right now, man. And I pray. I'm picking on you, Fred. Don't ever be afraid to do that. When God brings something across your mind on someone, and He says, give them a call. And please never, ever be insulted if someone calls you and say, man, I don't know what it is. You're on my heart right now. God wants me to pray with you for something. What is this? Don't think, well, you think something wrong with me. You don't mean that you're in sin. It might just mean that this temptation is coming your way. You're not aware of it yet. It could be that maybe you're traveling tomorrow. And God brought this on somebody's heart. And sometimes when He does that, we just drop down to our bed or where we're at and we pray. But sometimes He wants us to call and encourage people. So, Christians, you have to get thick skin to the point that you quit being insulted every time someone wants to pray with you or help you or ask you something. We get offended so quick. What do you mean? Daryl asking me something you want me to pray for, have any temptations. I'm the preacher. I don't have no temptations. Isn't that a lie right there?
Yeah.
I'm bombarded every day. You know how many times each day I'm tempted by Satan to quit? You know how many times he comes to me and says, oh, this is my little give up. They ain't paying no attention to you. You ain't doing no good. Oh, I know what you used to do. Hey, that's something he does to you, is it not?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We got to pray through it. We got to speak out. Sometimes I say, wait a second. The Word of God says, hey, I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm born again. I'm His temple. I'm co-heirs of Christ at the throne. I am somebody. Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. Resist him. He must leave. He must leave. Romans 10:17. God encourages us today, and you're doing it right now. That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Anybody ever hear about a guy named Daniel in the Bible in the lion's den? If you heard the story, raise your hand. Awesome. Did he not stand on the Word of God?
Yes, he did.
Amen. Did he not profess the Word of God?
Yes.
Was he taken to captivity? Yes, he was. Was he thrown into the lion's den to be ate up?
Yes.
But did not even his captives, the king himself, had a heart for Daniel?
No.
Yes, he did. Remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, remember.
Yes,
he did. But he couldn't go back on his own word. Remember the next morning, he says, hey, Daniel, has your God delivered you? Yes, king, live forever. Wow. So some days you might feel like you're being thrown into the lion's den. Amen?
Yes.
Well, I'm telling you what, the same God delivered Daniel will also deliver us as we stay upon His Word. Like Daniel said, hey, will they tear me apart, eat me for dinner? I'm in the glory of God. Or will I walk out of here professing the name of Jesus Christ? I have nothing to lose. The only thing we had this the other day on Facebook He says, anything you do to a Christian, just change your address.
Amen.
Amen. You need to change your address. Amen. God is faithful to us. But we need to know the Word and study that Word. And allow that. That's why it's so important to hear the Word of God. And when the pastor says, man, I just seen a Bible study there last night. He's not trying to chastise you. He's not trying to condemn you. He's saying, listen, you need the Word of God to be strong. You need that Word of God to overcome the things coming our way. I need you to know the Word of God to pray for me. As I need it for you, so just encourage one another. It'd be like being, if you're a weightlifter or an Olympic thing or a skater, whatever it is, and say, Brother Steve, I didn't see you at practice last night, man. We got the Olympics coming up before long, you know. I need you to be able to be strong to pick me up and throw me around, you know what I'm saying? I'll be depending upon you to lift me up. That's why I need you to practice. Get stronger. It's the same way the Word of God. I need you at all possible to come to practice, which is the Word of God. Because I need you to lift me up as I need to lift you up. This is the commitments we made to the Lord. When he took our sins away, when we said, okay, Lord, take it all, I accept what you did here on this cross. I accept, man, all the blood that came out of you, the stripes. I accept that for the forgiveness of my sins. When I did that, now he owns me. I'm his slave. Volunteered, what's that? Bond servant. I surrender myself. Bond servants used to surrender themselves to someone until they had their passage paid off. And same way with the master. Yeah. I'm a bond servant to the Lord until my passage is paid off. What I mean with that, until I go to heaven. He paid it away. I'm just a bond servant to him. So we need, in these days, to look more and more into our faith, our belief. What do we truly believe about the Lord? Then are we allowing Him total access to our life? Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. He says, surely our griefs He Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon Him. And by His scourging, or some say by His stripes, we are healed. Now what did it say? It said that we are healed. Sometimes we're not sure whether God wants to heal us or not. Sometimes we convince ourselves, and throughout the church age, they did this somehow. But, well, if you're sick, it must be the will of God. That God made you sick. It's a lie. Listen to me, guys. It's a lie. God would never make you sick. Nope. Would you ever put a disease on your kid?
No.
All sickness and disease originated from the evil one. But time and time again, you look at scriptures and you see where God takes what the devil wants to do bad and he turns it around for good. It will allow him access to us. Amen? Look at the master himself. We just read what happened to him. Now, did God beat Jesus? No. Did he scourge him? No. Was it God plucking his beard out? No. Did God allow it to happen? Yes. Understand that. He allowed it to happen because God knows the next day and the next day and the next day. God will take the things that come against us that are bad and turn around for good for those who love Him. Now, the master had total faith in the Father. He's all human. Total faith, though. Because of what God allowed to come upon Jesus for a short period, boom, we have salvation today. Amen. Any time between that walk that the master took, he could have thought, I'm not going to do it no more. I just quit. I'm not going to do it anymore. It's too much pain. God, I ain't going to do it. And he could have walked away. And what would have happened? We have no salvation today. every one of them would have no hope. So what Satan meant for bad, God turned around for something fantastic. So as we are a follower of Jesus, and as we follow the Word of God, and something comes upon us, we have to keep our faith in the Lord. Say, God, I'm your child. John 1:10 tells me I'm your child. And God, you never put sickness and disease on my body. So it's there, I'm being attacked, and God, you allowed it to happen. So I know that you're going to take this thing, and you're going to use it for your glory. So God, I pray today that I'll have strength, I'll have faith to continue my walk with you, and not turn my back on you, and give you the glory. The Master said that in the garden, God, let you be glorified, not my will, but your will. And we have to look at it the same way. Don't think that God gave up on you. Don't think, well, God gave me the sick. No. God is allowing you to go through it for a purpose. What it is, it's up to the Master. But you just stay faithful. Don't waver on the Word. Don't compromise that Word. And let God bring you through it to His glory. To His glory. One thing I share, Daryl, with your family. And then the question, well, oh, Mom's still hanging on there. Well, what's going on, I wonder. I said, I don't know. I trust in God. Because you know what? A couple days there, when your mama was sick, you had a couple of nieces that had to take the day off. Took the day off work. Well, just maybe, if Mama would have passed a few days earlier, she'd been in heaven celebrating, your niece would have went back to work, and maybe there's an auto accident coming down the road. Maybe God just saved that from her, but let your mama hang in there one more time. God's not a merciless God. Your mama came home when God said it was time, not a minute early. Or, through that, someone made it. You had a nephew you had to fly in. He was in the military. In fact, he was on special ops and had to come back in. The timing of your mother's homecoming was perfect for him to come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So what Satan meant for bad, got you around with glory because your whole family, there were about 300 people in there probably heard the gospel of Jesus Christ because of your mama. Because of her faith. Wow. And those who come to Christ from that, your mama gets credit for it, buddy. Yes, amen. So we have trust and have faith. And not to give up. It's okay, God, when you're ready, I'm ready. Be ready every day. But I'm staying here until you tell me it's time to come home. And not to give up, not to compromise. And not let the Word of God water me down. So look how important it is to stay faithful to the Lord. To His Word. It doesn't take much room for air to get into a house. You ever crack your window in the middle of winter? You crack up that much. Oh, you can feel that, can't you?
Yeah.
It's coming in. It's the same way when we compromise ourselves and we let the evil one, we compromise ourselves to sin. No matter how minor it is, we just invited him into our household. And we can't do that if we want to survive. You hear what I'm saying, church?
Yes.
That little sin that we might be embracing from time to time is killing us. Slowly but surely, it's taken away. When we compromise the Word, it's kind of like if I'm over in Canal Louisville and Buck Harris says, hey, Pastor, stop in anytime you want to for coffee. Well, that's nice. You know, he's offered many times. Well, when I get there, I find out he's got coffee and donuts. It's not going to be once or twice a month. Every night I'm going to show up there because he opened that window up to come anytime you want for coffee and donut. Okay, and pretty soon Cindy will say, how can I get rid of the preacher so often? He's here all the time. We have to close that window. How do you close the window? Hey Stark, really on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, me and Cindy are pretty busy. But stop by on any Wednesday you want, and we'll have coffee together, okay? Well, you close that window, boom. You get peace back in your household. Well, only thing different would be with evil, with the sin. Close the window completely.
Yes.
Don't allow it to exist in your house at all. Because he comes only to do what, church? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what it comes for, no matter how entertaining it might be. And sometimes we just want to, God, just give me 5 minutes. I can step back in the flesh and just say a few things. And no, we don't want to do that. That's why it's so important. When you find yourself that you sin, what do you want to do?
Repent.
Actually, God wants to forgive you. Don't ever get to the point saying, oh, I can't ask God to forgive me. I just asked Him three times earlier this morning and four times yesterday. And no. Repent. Seek forgiveness. Yet as soon as possible. Because as long as you do not, you left that window open. And that draft is coming in. It's going to come in. And it comes in for one purpose. We have to get rid of it. Got to repent. But repenting is not just being sorry. It's turning away from that sin. So it gets to a point, maybe, as time goes on, back to my house, Fred got to sell his house, get away from me. Because all the stuff's going on in my house, now my house is falling in. And making his house fall in. So I just can't be around Starkey much longer. Because I'm going to leave my windows open for long. You know? So sometimes we have to separate ourselves, because otherwise, man, our what God wants to do, what's that, hon?
A bad influence.
A bad influence, yes. A bad influence can be detrimental on us. But realize that healing is for us. Healing comes through His Word, by listening to His Word. His Word is anointed. Understand that. It is anointed. He came to heal us. He gave us authority to lay hands on one another. And we are, you know, we have the great healthcare system there is in the world. Jesus spoke in Luke 4:18. He went into the temple to speak. In Luke 4:18, the Master said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." So what did He say? He said that He was anointed. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me. And Jesus Christ is what? He's the Word of God. So He's saying the Word of God is anointed. Listen, church. When God anoints something, it stays anointed.
Right.
It doesn't leave. Jesus is still anointed today as He was when He was baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit Himself and became anointed. And that Word is the same way today. As you speak it out, the same anointing. And you say, well, preacher, what's anointing? Have you ever sang the old rugged cross? Or different songs, you just feel that presence of God there. That's the anointing of God. You ever been here and worship God, and you feel this anointing, this presence of God so thick? That's the anointing of God. It's His presence, yes, thank you. And that's what His Word is. That's why I said, speak that Word. And sometimes you can't speak it. You have it in your mind. But then us who can speak over one another. Folks, I mean, there's not enough of that going on. There's not enough. There's plenty of fellowship going on. Amen. I love fellowship. But there's not enough of the Word of God being transpired in our fellowship. And we got to make sure that we allow that to spring up. You bite a I'm going to pitch on you, my cousin behind here. You can bite me over tonight and have cookies. Have a great time. Go down the river for a while, okay? Oh, this is an enjoying thing. But you know what we need to do before we leave? Let's go to the Word of God for a moment. Wow. You know that? We need to do that. You have coming over, Christian fellows coming over. Have that Word of God there. Somehow bring it in. You know, bring it up. If you come over and watch the football game, shut it off at halftime maybe. Have the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, did you do that yet? I'm just saying, just find more ways of getting the Word of God into a fellowship. You hear me say it all week long here in the ministry, man, more of the Word of God. You know, go around the table and just sit down and share with someone the Word of God. You know, just sit there and talk with them, you know. And we do that more and more because that's what it's about. The Word of God will change a person's life for eternity. A donut might survive, you know, keep it around to change, but it's the Word of God. We have to cherish it, but we got to have faith in it. And faith comes by what? Hearing the Word of God. 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 Woo. Now, in verse 24 there in Luke, I was in Luke 4, it says, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown." Meaning no one had any faith that he was the Son of God or he could heal. No faith except for a couple of people have faith in the Lord. It takes faith for God to work in our lives. You know, I hear all the time, I hear people say, oh, well, I know he means well, but I'm sick because my mama had this disease, my grandma had the disease, my daddy had the disease, and well, I've got the same disease. And through our mouth, we are proclaiming that.
Right.
Now, the truth might be, you might have it, but God still sent His Word to heal us. And if you're going to speak out something, speak out the Word of God.
Right.
Speak out the Word of God. You might say, well, the doctor says I've got this, but by His stripes I am healed. He sent His Word to heal me, and I'm studying that Word. Proclaim the Word of God. That takes faith to speak that out. Right, Daryl? It takes faith. And how can you speak out something you don't know? We got to study the Word of God. Or, again, there's nothing wrong with having a cheat sheet, as some people call it. When you need the Word of God, you need the Word of God. You need it now. If you don't have it buried in here, you got to have a reference to it. But I'm telling you, you study it. And we try to do that every week here. Those scriptures that are in your bulletin, we have a great time with them, but they are really a purpose for you to study them and put that scripture into your heart. That way you can recall that in a time of need.
Right.
In Proverbs 16:24, it says, I will speak pleasant words because they are like a honeycomb. I'll back it up in a second. Sweetness to my soul and health to my bones. Proverbs 16:24. The Word of God says that. I will speak pleasant words because they are like a honeycomb. And honeycomb's got honey in it. They're really sweet and good to chew on. Mm. Because they are sweetness to my soul and health to my bones. And that's just speaking pleasant words. Have a good day, Daryl. Pleasant words. Again, we got to go back. Our mouth is one of the greatest weapons that we have. And it's the greatest weapon when we take it and mix it with the blood of Christ and His Word. And don't be afraid to stand upon His Word. But He says, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. Meaning, even Jesus. No one paid any attention to Him in His hometown. That's just a carpenter, son. Remember in high school with him? Yeah, you remember that. He had no faith. What's that?
He's a nerd.
Yeah, Jesus would be considered a nerd probably back then. Yeah, but he was all human, so he had all the same temptations and stuff, you know. But they didn't recognize him. And so you say, well, what do I do then? What do I do when I go to the hospital? I have a loved one that's sick, or someone that's sick, and they have no faith. They don't believe in God. What do I do? You take your faith and you stand in the gap, and you speak that word over them. You speak that word over them. You take your faith and execute it there. Now they're raised up. They have a choice then. They have to reach out to the Lord and get that word of God into them to maintain their health. But we give them the opportunity. And time again, we see the Master doing that in the Scriptures. And things haven't changed. He's still the same today. Speaking that word out. I don't care how bad circumstances seem. I don't care what the doctor reports are. I don't care if you're laying in a Cleveland hospital and you're watching your blood pressure go, and you got some crazy woman standing on top of you about 3 o'clock in the morning speaking the word of God over you and praying. He ain't going home yet. He ain't going home yet. He raised me back up in the name of Jesus. Because He still had a plan and purpose for me.
Amen.
Now, if He took me home that night, then you know His will. You know my time has come because you spoke the Word of God over me. You rejected the evil one coming in.
And it doesn't change.
And don't change God a bit. It does not. It doesn't change His plan and purpose. What she did was went against what was trying to take me out. So my plan and purpose that God had for me has not been completed yet.
Right.
I could go home early. If I step outside of the Word of God, if I allow sin to overrun me, I get home a lot earlier than God expected. It's my choice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, if somebody tells you, well, I just don't believe that, I can't change it. I have faith in the Word of God. I know it. I know it's true. And He wants you to get it the same way. God sent His Word to heal us. I ask you what does God say about your sickness? We need to quote what the Word of God says. Maybe we don't know what the Word of God says about the diseases. We need to check into it. He said in Psalms 18:21, again, that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. So if you're already sick, there's no sense speaking that you are. Now listen up, but I'm not saying not to share when you say, well, you know, I come down with this and this. That's, you're sharing that, okay? But don't embrace it. You understand? What's that?
Or rehearse it.
Right, I mean, if you're going to say, well, you come to me, well, how are you feeling today, Pastor? Well, you know what? My back is kind of tingling today, but you know, boy, He raised me up for another purpose today. Okay, give God the glory. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not going to deny what my back feels like, but I'm going to proclaim what the Word of God says about that. Amen? That's what we need to do, you know. Don't go around. He's not saying a lie. Listen to me. The truth is the truth. Okay? If the doctor says, well, you're diagnosed with this, well, you're diagnosed with that. Okay? I won't tell you what the doctor told me. But the Master says, by His stripes I am healed. And I'm not on the Word of God in my life, and I'm following the Word of God. I'm standing on that promises that this thing shall come to pass. And that's how you proclaim it. That's how you study the Word. You hear that Word. It's up to us. It truly is. How bad... How much do we want to intercede for one another? How important is we are to each other? Okay? Are you more important to me than watching Leave It to Beaver reruns? Would you hope you would be, right? Amen. I hope you say amen. Yes, you are more important than Leave It to Beaver reruns, okay? All right, guys. Well, I didn't say Lawrence Welk. I said Leave It to Beaver, okay? But again, yes, brother. Come on, yeah, amen. And we have to get that part in our life. You know, there's nothing wrong with having relaxation time, okay? But when the Spirit of God moves upon you and brings someone to your attention and say, well, we need to pray, we need to be able, willing to walk away from anything, go into your prayer closet and start praying, interceding for one another. Sometimes you might be there for 5 minutes and the Spirit of God just releases you and you go back out. Sometimes you might be there for an hour, I don't know. But just being obedient to Him, let Him work through us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, Mark 5:34. I'm going to read a little bit more. I want you to listen to this here. May it help you take away some of your doubt maybe from time to time. I'm not sure. It says, and when Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered about Him, and He stayed by the seashore. Yeah, I'm in verse 21 now. I'm going to start a little bit before there. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up upon seeing Him, fell to His feet, and entreated Him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live. And He went off with him, and a great multitude was following Him and pressing in on Him. And a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His cloak. For she thought, if I just touch His garments, I shall get well. And immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Yes. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in Himself that the power proceeding from Him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And the disciples said to Him, you see the multitude pressing in on you, Jesus. And you say, who touched me? I mean, there's hundreds of people pushing in on Him. And He looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before Him and told Him the whole truth. And He said to her, daughter, your faith hath made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So we see right there, number one, she had faith. 12 years she had spent trying to get her body to be healed. Done everything that she could. But she knew that she'd go see Christ. She had faith. Somebody had been talking. Someone had been sharing what Christ was doing. And she went to the Lord, and the minute she touched Him, she was healed. But the thing you got to look at here, there's many people following Jesus. Many people was bumping into Him. Oh, man. You know, Charles Capps says even someone probably touched Him just to see the sparks to fly out of His body. But none of them were healed. There's not one word where everybody followed Christ and ran into Him, they were healed. What was the difference? It was faith. It was faith. So we might sit here today and you think of something that you've been going through for many years. And the man, I've tried everything, and oh, nothing's working. And this person tried it, this person did. Don't compare yourself to anybody except to the Master. And know His Word. Your faith. He said, your faith has healed you. Don't look at Starkey. Well, Starkey had the same thing, and boy, he didn't recover from it. Well, that's between me and the Lord. What was going on in Starkey? Where was my faith level at? What was His plan and purpose for me? I don't know. But your plan and purpose, the Master knows. It's your faith. Your faith that determines what God does in our life. Do you understand that, church? Your faith. We can intercede on one another, as we see several times in Scriptures, where the Master raised somebody up. But once they get raised up, they have to come also to the knowledge of the Lord. They have to build that faith up in order to keep what God has done. Because sickness and disease is sickness and disease, sin is sin, right? And if we don't put that thing around us, called the Word of God, it'll come back upon us again. Mark 10:52. I'm learning. Jesus speaks here. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following Him on the road. A blind man went to the Lord immediately. Boom. Your faith has made you well. Instantly, we saw the lady with the issue of blood touch the Master. Boom, after 12 years, instantly. Now here's the blind man. 9:22. Again, we see it documented. Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. That's Matthew 9:22. There we go. Yeah, Matthew 9:22. And at once the woman was made well. Right then. Instantly. Her faith. Now, Luke 17. I'm sorry, verse 11. And it came about, verse 11 in chapter 17 of Luke. And it came about while he was on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a certain village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And it came about that as they were going, they were cleansed. Wow. Okay. So we got 10 lepers. Now you understand leopards. In those days, you had leper colonies. If you had leprosy, you was cast out of the colony. You had to live out there by yourself. You couldn't be around normal people. They did not have a life. You might say it was walking dead men. Leprosy kept them separated from God, or from the town. Then he said, okay, Master, have mercy on us. Have faith in Him. He said, okay, go. Go to town. Go to the priest. And while they were going to the priest, they were healed. Why did they go to the priest? Because in those days, only the priest could examine you and declare that you are leprosy free and permit you back into the village. Only the priest could do that. That was one of the powers that they had in the town. So when he said, go now, go to the priest. Wow, they listened to what Christ said. And on their way, they were healed. So, we see where instantly people are healed. And we see these guys, as they listened to the Word of God, as they followed His instructions, they were healed. Some instantly, some as they follow. Why? I can't tell you. If that's how God set it up. So today, as you're here, and you have a need, you have faith in God, you might say, well, I've been praying for a long time, and nothing's happened yet. Well, you're still here, right? You're still here. And every day that we have is to glorify the Lord with it. This is, I don't know how long it took the lepers to get down there to see the priest. They said only one out of 10 ever came back and thanked Jesus. They said that it made him whole. So you have healing, physical healing. Then you have spiritual healing. Now I take it when he acknowledged God and he said that he was whole, I believe he kept his healing. And I believe he became a follower of Christ. That's the only way you're whole, when you're spiritually healed. The rest of them, what happened? Did the sickness and disease come back upon them? We see where the Master tells us several times in the Scripture, go. But he says one thing, go and sin no more. Because something worse can come back upon you, he says. So this is the Master speaking to the church today, us individually. Have faith, he says. Faith will come to you by hearing the Word of God. Live by faith. Practice faith. Encourage each other's faith. Pray for one another. But go and sin no more. This sin is detrimental to your life. It will cut short the things that God wants to do for us. Or do through us, if I might say it that way. We got to realize that the born-again Christian is not about our life anymore, it's about the lives of others for Jesus' sake. We need to put the concerns of others ahead of ourselves. Because we're only here temporarily. This is nothing compared to what He has for us. Amen. You know, last night I was down here and I was outside and looked at the blacktop out there. And how many people remember last year during wintertime, almost losing our cars out there in the potholes and stuff, you know? And so awesome that they decided to blacktop it. But the other day it was so sad, not sad, but of all the days of blacktop, they tore up Main Street on your mama's homecoming party. You know what? We couldn't park out front here. So we had to park away from the church, and some of us had to park a couple blocks away. It was just a little bit of inconvenience to be able to walk on the blacktop again. A little inconvenience for a day or two. But now look at it. When you drive down the street, you get down into the street, your hubcaps are still on your car. You know what I'm saying? You still got your car, okay? Just for a little inconvenience. And the Lord says that today. Get out of your sin. Get away from that stuff. Or it might bring you a little inconvenience because maybe your friends list might be shortened for Christmas time. It might cut down some of the things you'd like to do, but it's only for a little time, he says. Because sooner or later, he wants you walking on the streets of gold. That's where we got to be looking at what's coming our way. Don't keep your eyes on what we have right now. Don't let it absorb you. Don't let the things of this world control you so much that it doesn't allow you to worship God. Don't allow the things of this world control you so much that you can't come to church to hear the Word of God. Because you have to work all the time in order to pay for all the stuff you got. Amen?
Amen.
Let God be God. Let Him be in your life. Let His Word just take root.